Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Your car collects data about you, such as your driving habits, where you go. Lots and lots of information is being stored in your vehicle. But the question is, who uses that data? Who's going to have access to it? How do you protect your privacy? And most of all, how do you get rid of that data if you sell the car? That's a big question. My guest today is going to help answer some of those questions. Her name is Lauren Smith. She's policy counsel with the Future of Privacy Forum. Lauren, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, this is a fascinating subject, and I absolutely love the fact that you all have put out a guide for consumers. So tell us a little bit about the genesis of that guide.
Yes. So we have a Connected Cars working group here at the Future of Privacy Forum. And we've
Connected Cars is what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Connected Cars working group. So we sort of look at what some of the implications will be of emerging technologies and the fact that they tend to generate more and more data than sort of the more traditional vehicles and prior technologies that existed. So we've seen that with cars, there are a whole lot of new developments when it comes to data in the car. So cars have always collected some types of data, so there have been computerized systems in cars as early as the 1960s, and there are a couple of functions that have been collecting data in almost all cars since the 90s, and these are things like the event data recorder, which is a little like a black box in cars that records what happens before and after an incident, or the onboard diagnostics system that allows you to take your car in and have a repair shop see why the check engine light has gone off. So this is not an entirely new practice, but there are very big new developments. So there are a number of new types of data that cars are collecting. There's a greater volume, and there's more connectivity. So the data now is being sent off the car much more than it used to.
So the connectivity means there are more and more people have access to all this data about you and your driving habits.
It can mean that, yes. So whereas before, the data would have literally stayed physically on the car, and someone would have needed physical access to the car to get it. Now it may be transmitted through your accounts in a variety of ways outside of the car. Mm-hmm. And these technologies are actually enabling great advancements in safety on the roads. It's enabling things like automatic emergency braking, blind spot detection, vehicle-to-vehicle communication, technologies that both government and consumer advocates think have vast potential to increase safety on the roads. But
so that's a good thing. So being safer is a good thing. But there is the but.
This has actually been a very big shift just in the last couple of years. The sort of refrain that we keep hearing is that the transportation sector will change more in the next 5 years than it did in the last 50. And a lot of that is about these new technologies. And the technology is moving so quickly that I don't think that we're communicating with consumers as well as we could be. Sort of, what are the new types of data that are being generated, stored, and communicated by cars? What functions does that data serve? What protections exist around the data? And I think it's going to be really important that companies, that advocates, that policymakers work to sort of explain and communicate this. And again, it's been moving so fast that I think there's been a little bit of a gap in that space.
Well, I think also the big question is, for consumers, what kind of choices do you have? I mean, I suppose that you have to give up some of the technology unless you're willing to give up some of your privacy. So is that kind of a trade-off?
Well, there are sort of a lot of elements that go into this, and some of the technologies will really rely on this data to be able to function. Mm-hmm. And if you think about sort of down the line where we may have autonomous cars, those cars will be relying on sensors to make decisions about how to drive, and some of this data will be safety critical to those technologies. Mm-hmm. Other data, like your radio music listening habits, may not be as critical, mm-hmm. and so that's certainly a place where there would be sort of more flexibility in consumer choice. But we're sort of starting from the very beginning of trying to explain to consumers how this whole enterprise is advancing. That's why we last week partnered with the National Auto Dealers Alliance to release the first of its kind guide to personal data in your car. are.
Okay, so now, let me stop you right there. Tell consumers, our listeners, how they can get that guide. They can go online, and or can they get a hard copy of it, or how do they get access to it?
Yes, so there will be a couple of ways. You could definitely access the electronic version on our website, which is fpf.org.
That's FPF, which stands for the Future Privacy Forum.
Yes. And again, the reason that we partnered with the National Automobile Dealers Alliance was to try to get this guide into the hands of consumers. So they have been distributing copies of the guide at their annual convention in New Orleans, which was last week, which is about 40,000 dealers attend that. And so the goal is to hand them out to dealers to have them, you know, they can put their logo on the guide and they can hand it out at their shops. Ford Direct, which is sort of a dealer arm partnership of Ford, has put their logo on and plans to distribute them at dealerships. And
that's awesome. That is really awesome because, you know, I think I'm a little bit tech savvy, and my husband has one of these advanced cars. I don't. I mean, you know, my guidance system is a Garmin, so tells you how advanced I am in that. But I use drive my husband's car a lot. And some of the features are absolutely wonderful. But then I realized that, oh, my gosh, there's people there that know where I am and all that. Nothing about going off and hiding. So anyway, let's talk about some of the specific things that are on a vehicle that consumers really need to be aware of. And what would you say is the most important feature in terms of the consumer privacy issue?
Well, so there are a couple of types of data that are being collected now that we would consider to be more sensitive than other types of data. And the big three there are location information, biometric information, and behavioral information.
Okay, so now what do you mean by biometric?
So biometric is sort of internal sensors that might get information on physical or biological characteristics of a driver. So
they're going to see if I'm sleepy or if I'm driving too fast or what?
So those are some of the features that would be enabled by it. It could be things as simple as facial recognition to see who is getting into a car and adjust all of the settings automatically based on who gets in. It could be things like vital sign monitoring. So if your pulse drops such that they think the car believes you've fallen asleep, there may be a feature that could, the car itself could pull the car over to the side of the road rather than if there was an incident, you sort of falling asleep at the wheel in the middle of the road.
And what was the third? Location, biometrics, and?
And behavioral information.
And behavioral. So, and that would be how I drive or what?
Yeah, so driving patterns like speed, steering, and braking, and engagement with the wheel. So there are some features that can sense whether a driver is physically engaging with the wheel, and if they're not, the car can send an alert that sort of wakes you up. Mm-hmm. And the car can also respond to a lack of reply to that. The reality is that if you compiled that type of data, it could become identifying. There was a study last year that if you have enough behavioral driving data for a given person, that information could be as identifying as a fingerprint, just because we each sort of have our own tics and habits.
Okay, now this is my car. I've paid for it. So all this data is being accumulated. Is an insurance company likely to get access to this information? Suppose I'm in an accident. Now, I remember that years ago, they used to say that what I'd call the car's black box could talk about how you were braking and how fast you were going, etc. Obviously, this is taking this to a much greater level. But what is the way the uses? Let's look at the location. Now, the location to me is fairly simple. It probably isn't, but it's going to tell somebody where I drive, how often I go there, that sort of thing. What else is there that we need to know about location and how that data could be used?
Well, so the good thing is that, you know, we've identified...
You know what? I'm sorry. I've got to take a break here. For goodness sakes, Lauren, I'm so engrossed in this. I forgot to tell our listeners that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest, and I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Lauren Smith. She's a policy counsel for the Future of Privacy Forum, and I'm just fascinated by your guide to all these devices on our car. As you can tell, I even forgot to take a break. Okay, Lauren, we're back. Sorry about that. Okay, so the location thing I can understand, but you were going to expand on that for me.
Yeah, so the good news is that we're not the only ones that have identified these as sort of some sensitive categories of information. So automakers have already taken steps to work to protect this data. So nearly all automakers have committed to a set of automotive privacy principles, which were sort of negotiated within the industry and have started going into effect in cars in the last year. And the automakers affirm sort of a couple of important commitments. So one is transparency. So this says that manufacturers will provide you with clear and concise privacy policies about the car. The other is requiring affirmative consent for the sharing of sensitive data. And those are sort of the types of data, location, biometric.
That would be where you're driving and you're how often you go there, et cetera, et cetera. So you're saying now that the automakers are giving me some options on how I control that data. What would some of those options be?
Well, actually, what they did was sort of set a set of standards for their ability to share that data. So they've basically created enhanced protections for these types of data.
So okay, so now where
would be
I'm
required.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the how and why bit of it here. So what would that mean in terms of my saying to? Since location is generally dependent upon a guidance system, and the guidance system is dependent upon satellites tracking me, et cetera, and what would be my control over that? Can I say I don't want to do that? I don't want that kind of information. What kind of brakes, in other words, I guess is what I'm trying to ask, can I put on this data?
So the reality is this is advancing so quickly that everyone is
we don't know.
Figuring out what controls exist. And part of the challenge is that there are now a number of different entities that you're interfacing with in your car, whereas before it may have just been the automaker. Now, you know, you're getting into a car that was made by a given automaker. The software in the car may be a different company. The apps within that software may be affiliated with different companies. You may have accounts with each of those companies. You may have what you call sort of an onboard diagnostic port dongle that you sign up for with your insurance company that allows you to plug into one of the ports and will send information to the insurance company. So the
that could be a bad or good or a bad thing, depending on your viewpoint.
And so there are a number of different entities in play. So the automakers have sort of committed to getting your consent before sharing the sensitive information for marketing with unaffiliated.
All right, now let me ask you a question. This is a consumer question. Is the information that they're going to provide to the consumer understandable as to what you would do? I mean, your guide is a lovely overview, but how do I tell people step by step? Or how would you tell people step by step on how to protect themselves in using this data? I would be willing to bet the manufacturer's guides are not really going to tell you that.
Yeah, so that was part of why we put out this guide, so that it would be sort of a more easily accessible explanation of this, because again, you know, any given car will have a different set of software. So in order to get sort of the precise answers for your specific car, it's worth talking to your dealer directly. It's worth looking into the user guides, going on the websites of your car maker. But there are a couple of practices that sort of are across the board good privacy practices to have. So what we've tried to tell folks is if you are renting a car, if you're leasing a car, if you're selling your car that you've used previously, start to think about it more like a computer or a smartphone. phone. So you wouldn't just hand your computer with the password unlocked to someone without deleting your personal data.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your files that are on there. Think about your browsing history. Cars are starting to be more like computers in that sense. So basic things are part of our privacy checklist. So things like checking the contact address book, deleting any contacts that may have been synced from your phone to the car, on logging out of any mobile applications that you may have logged into, clearing your home and work addresses from the navigation system, clearing your garage door programming from the garage door button in your car.
Oh, now that's a good one. I hadn't even thought about the garage door. Of course, you've got these little buttons. You push the garage door or the fence door or whatever to the entry gate to your house. That's my goodness.
And they're very convenient. But again, you could think, you know, if you sold your car and someone had your home address on your garage door program, that's a big risk. So we want consumers to sort of start thinking about cars in this way to be sure that they can protect themselves.
Okay, so now are the guides that am I going to get guidelines, or probably, I guess this is what a consumer needs to have a conversation about, and this is where they should have your guide in hand, read it thoroughly when you're going to buy a new or used car. So I like the idea that you're telling consumers about what they need to do when they sell that car, but you're right. Because I wouldn't give up a computer or discard a computer with all of my data on it. So why should I want to get rid of my phone, my car, when I've got all this data in there? Old cars, like I have Bluetooth on my car, so that means that my whole, address book, my phone numbers are on there, are accessible. And so, that you have to be really savvy in figuring out how to eliminate all of this data. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge, Lauren.
Yeah, and I think the impetus will start to be on the car makers and the other
to make it easier. This time I'm going to take a break on time. Let's just take a pause and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Lauren Smith. She's the policy counsel with the Future of Privacy Forum, which is a nonprofit organization that's looking out for us in terms of privacy, both in the business sense and the personal sense. They have produced the guide that's going to help you to understand what kind of data your car collects, how to use that data, and most importantly, when you sell that car, how to eliminate that data. So I think your guide is great, Lauren. Again, people can go to FPF, that's frankpaulfrank.org, and get a copy of it. Am I correct? Yeah, I mean, I was there this morning and I looked at it, and there was, right in the front page of your homepage of your website. Very nicely done, by the way. We're just very pleased to be a partner in some senses with Future Privacy Forum being on your advisory board. So Call for Action is really pleased that you've come out with this, and we hope to help you distribute it to some of our affiliates around the country because we think it's really important. And this is so new. I think that's the other thing, Lauren. You're going to get a lot of attention for this because this is the cutting edge of technology and how we as consumers are providing data sometimes without even thinking about it. So now we talked about the location technology and the biometrics, the behaviors, and you had mentioned earlier that you could key in with your insurance company. Well, there could be some goods and some bads about that. Yep. And not that I'm a believer in secrecy, but do I really want the insurance company to know everything I'm doing in my car?
Well, I think it's going to be a big question. I mean, for now, most of those features are options that consumers can opt into. Mm-hmm. So you can get a safe driving discount if you choose to get one of these dongles and plug it in and share that data with your insurance company.
A dongle being something similar to an app?
It's actually a physical device that will plug into the port in your car because that's the onboard diagnostic system is what tracks that information.
Okay.
It doesn't go through sort of a screen software with the screen. Mm-hmm. It's an actual plug-in. So right now that's an option that some insurance companies are providing.
They're not requiring it. They don't require you to do this. Are they going to get to that point, do you think? That's a guess, I know.
We're we're still early. I think the reality is the insurance industry is going to have to massively change when it comes to connected cars. There's going to be a lot more data, which could be a positive thing for consumers in that it could allow insurance companies to make better, more informed decisions about safe driving because they have much more information and they could, you know, base their pricing and decisions on the actual driving habits of drivers. But on the other hand, you could imagine it also leading to increased rates and to them just having a lot more information that could be used for different purposes. They are subject to actual privacy laws like the Fair Credit Reporting Act, given mm-hmm. that they are in the insurance world. So their use of that data does have actual regulation, unlike we have in some other sectors. But I think there's going to be a big shift. There are also maybe a big shift in the insurance industry as we shift towards humans not being part of the driving equation. So I think those folks are tracking this and figuring out what they'll do next, but we're certainly not at a stage yet where that information would be required.
Interesting, because that may make some people want to keep old cars that don't have all this data on it.
But yeah, the big statistic that gets thrown around is there are about 35,000 deaths due to motor vehicle accidents every year in the United States. And the Department of Transportation has said that 94% of those are attributable to human error in driving.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is that some of these technologies that are, again, advancing very quickly have the capacity to vastly reduce that number. So there's a lot of promise here, but it's certainly worth consumers being aware of the fact that this is shifting, and it's important to track and pay attention and think about your car, again, as a more technological device than you may have thought of it before.
Right. It's not just something that takes you to the grocery store and on a driving trip or a vacation. Exactly. Okay. Let's look to the future, the driverless car. It brings up a lot of issues of concern and control. How do we as consumers, my husband's car basically will drive itself. I have to keep my hands on the steering wheel. But it stops and starts and warns me if I'm changing lanes and does all that wonderful thing and things. And I do find that there are many safety features in there. But this means that I'm relying on a computer. Computers do malfunction. Are there concerns about people hacking into these systems? I mean, what kind of security? We don't have very much time, but in a minute, tell me what kind of security are the providers of these vehicles and all this information trying to put into it so that it's not susceptible to somebody out there trying to do me harm?
So cybersecurity in the space is absolutely top of mind for everyone working on it. You know, the technology won't work. It won't be adopted if it's not as absolutely secure as possible. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of mechanisms in place to advance that. The industry formed what they call an auto ISAC, where they are sharing between companies information about cyber threats. It's sort of a proactive approach to helping sort of protect the fleet overall. There's also a call from the federal government to have increased data sharing around safety incidents for autonomous vehicles. The reality is, you know, again, in a lot of ways, cars are becoming more like computers and smartphones, and some of this data we're already sharing through our computers and smartphones. But the big distinction is that your smartphone is not moving you at 60 miles an hour down
the
road.
That's right. Yep.
So cybersecurity is absolutely tantamount. Everyone involved in this field is absolutely prioritizing that, and that will be sort of key to being able to continue to roll out these technologies.
Okay, so now tell me again the name of the brochure, where people can find it, and who you've partnered with to do this.
Yes, so it's called Personal Data in Your Car, and we partnered with the National Automobile Dealers Association, and a number of different folks have signed on as well, including Toyota and General Motors, and the two main trade associations for the auto industry, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers and Global Automakers. And you can find the guide at FP. ATF.org.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It's been a fascinating discussion. It takes a little glimpse into our future and what we can expect from these new cars, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So thank you so much. Folks, you've been tuned in to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Lauren Smith. She's a policy counsel with the Future of Privacy Forum. She's been telling us about a new brochure that and you can find it at FPF.org. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.